The best podcast in baseball is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized with Closets by Design. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new Best Podcast in Baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, and this week, conversation with Cardinals top prospect J.J. Weatherholt, the number 7th overall pick in this most recent summer's amateur draft, has been in Jupiter, working out with some of his peers, working out with some of the Cardinals' new coaches, and working toward his first major league spring training. He also is working with some new tech to help him not only measure, but also maintain his reaction time. And that was a big part of our conversation, just trying to learn what that technology was allowing him to do and how he was applying it. But then, of course, how he looked at the opportunity that he has this spring in Jupiter. The interview resulted in a story that ran in the Post-Dispatch, but it was a conversation that, well, it fit a podcast. So here's my whole conversation with shortstop and West Virginia alum, J.J. Weatherholt. Cue the music. Maybe it's time we get a theme song around here.
Hi, JJ. This is JJ Weatherholt, 7th overall pick for the Cardinals. And I believe you're joining me from Jupiter, right? Where you're already kind of getting a head start on spring training. What are some of the things that you're able to do down there right now at the Cardinal Complex in Jupiter, Florida?
Yes, sir. We got a good group of guys down here just training. Got a bunch of staff members that came back to kind of just do like a little pre-spring training, get some guys back on at the complex and just doing workouts. We're doing lifting, running, hitting, fielding, kind of everything, a whole bunch, just trying to get us prepped for spring training so it'll be a little bit of an easier transition when that all starts.
And for you, what's it like? I mean, you're back at Roger Dean Stadium and that whole part where you made your pro debut, but does it have a little bit of a major league feel as you prepare for your first major league spring training?
For sure, yeah. Like, it's going to be different, a bunch of different faces, learning new people, players, coaches. But, you know, that aspect of being there, the Palm Beach team uses the Major League Spring Training locker room. So it's kind of literally like some of the faces have changed, but I'm basically kind of going through the same area that I was with Palm Beach. So it's cool for that aspect. Just nothing too much crazy has changed.
What's it mean to you a year ago, you're at West Virginia and you're getting ready for your final season there. What's it mean to you to, within a year, be at a major league spring training and that first glimpse, not just of pro ball, but the highest level of pro ball?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I'm super fortunate, just in a very blessed situation. Obviously, you know, just because you can go to big league spring training doesn't really mean that you're going to get to that level right away or that you're gonna really advance. So it's kind of just like a learning process for me. I'm just really excited to be surrounded though and be around a bunch of big leaguers and just kind of see how they go about their business, watch them when they play and stuff like that, and then just be prepared for any chance that I could get. So it's really, really exciting, but obviously there's just a ton of work that you have to do to kind of get to where you want to be.
When I first met you there at Fort Worth, right when you were drafted, moments after you were drafted there with the Cardinals, we spoke a little bit. I wonder, in the months that followed and getting on the field and getting into the program, where do you think your game took the biggest strides? Where do you think you made the biggest improvement on the baseball field?
I mean, at the plate, like, I've always been a really good hitter and I was able to kind of adjust to some pro-level pitching. But I think defensively, just really working at that and getting more innings at shortstop. I mean, that was the whole plan for me my junior year, was to play every game at shortstop. And then, of course, I had the injury that took me out. Yeah. So, I mean, I really think I only played 20 give or so games at shortstop my junior year. So I might have honestly played more in pro ball than I did in shortstop. So that was really cool, just to kind of build on what I had worked so hard in the previous offseason in college to showcase my skills at short, and then finally being able to do so in pro ball. And then really just building off of that and talking to some of the infield guys here. It's been a ton of fun.
You joined a team that had a lot of momentum going and was on its way to a championship. What was it like to join that group? And then how did you kind of become part of that momentum and feel like you wanted to be part of what was propelling that team?
Yeah, I mean, it was just super, super fun. It was a really good situation. I mean, it's a lot easier to play well when your team's playing well. And I think, like, at the end of the day, the worst thing you could do is try to like make it about yourself, like, oh, I'm on this team and not like that. So I just wanted to show up and work hard for the guys who have been there for the entire year, who really wanted to win the championship. And I mean, it was also like, I wanted to win too. I haven't really won outright. We took a share of the Big 12 title at school, but I haven't won outright a championship since I was like, I don't even know, 12 years old. So I was like, okay, this is an opportunity to kind of get my first taste of winning for a while. So that was really fun. But yeah, I just didn't want to make it too much about me. It was just showing up to the field and trying to play and help those guys who had been there for a long time.
What did you think about being in the postseason? I mean, like you mentioned, you know, college's postseason is a little different than pro baseball's postseason. Class A is going to be different than Triple A postseason and different than Major League postseason. But there's an element of, you know, when everything's at stake and that last inning might be your last inning of a season. What did you kind of make of your first pro experience in postseason with elimination on the line?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it was a little bit of a different aspect in college. I mean, the college, the super regional that we came off of in North Carolina, I mean, there was like sold out crowds and everyone's screaming at you and calling you a bunch of names.
Yeah.
And this was a little bit different. There were some areas that got better crowds than others, but I mean, realistically, it was more just playing for those guys next to you, and you didn't have that too much of that aspect into it. But I mean, it was really cool to just see how passionate a lot of the guys were that really wanted to win. And it was especially for some of the guys from overseas. They were just so, so excited. Like, they wanted to win so badly. And every pitch, everything was so important to them, which is the way it should be. So it was really cool to just see that, you know, even at a lower level, lower affiliate, that everybody was just so focused on really trying to win. And we wanted to go out with a bang. So that was cool.
You mentioned the time at shortstop, and you know, I wonder how that relates to the fact that you just had that long stretch of play where you could be healthy. I know the season didn't start the way you wanted to there in college because of an injury. What did it mean to you, and what do you think you were able to accomplish just by playing that length of time healthy once you were able to join with the Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, it was an opportunity to, like I said, show what I had worked so hard for in the offseason. That was like the biggest thing in the offseason, was making the transition to shortstop. I spent countless hours of glove work and positioning and working on throws and all that. And then to go down like the fourth game is just tough. And then when I had gotten back to playing shortstop, I wasn't even at full capacity, obviously, because I was still dealing with recovery from the injury. So that was tough. But like you said, being able to play healthy in pro ball was just fun for me. Like, I didn't get to do that for a while. And so it was cool just to kind of show to myself and other people, like, you know, like that was the first injury I've ever really dealt with. So like, for the most part, I've been on the field all the time playing my hardest. And so it was fun to be able to do that. We were still a little bit, not necessarily hands off, but a little less than likely to steal as like I was in college before the injury. And that was still kind of just part of the process of like, you know, we don't want to come back in this short season, like just stay healthy at the plate and in the field and pick your chances when you can run, but don't make it the biggest priority. So that'll be an area where I'll look to kind of jump on this year, is getting back to that and stealing. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, it was just a ton of fun being able to be on that field.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN for details. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Let's talk then about like what role Pison and sort of the reaction and your ability to measure that, the device that they have and your work with them, which I believe started in college, right? Like your exposure, your first exposure to this kind of measuring reaction time and how to maintain it and where to improve decision making. What role did that play in kind of your preparation for your junior year, but also like continues to be part of like your regimen day to day?
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. We got introduced to it in college. And so it was something that we would use pretty much every day just to kind of get a benchmark. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in college, I didn't really understand the full capacity of it and how useful it could be for me as a player, which is something they've kind of taken the time to explain to me now is, you know, if you have a day where your benchmark isn't as high as it usually is, there's things you can do to increase that and kind of just find whatever works for me to be able to be the most ready when I step on the field. And really, it's just a tool you use outside to be more prepared in the box and in the field. And so it's something that I've been fortunate enough to use and represent. And so I'm super, super thankful for them wanting to use me as an athlete for their product.
What have you learned about kind of the mental aspect of physical performance through this device?
So I think for me, after a lift, I was able to get better times than before a lift. And so for me, it's just like I take a little bit longer to prep than some other guys. And so for me, I have to kind of get my body moving, start earlier, and just find ways to really get the heart rate up just so I can be perfectly ready first pitch.
How do you do that? What are some things that you've adopted to do that before a game?
Yeah, I mean, in college, I didn't do it too much this year, but in college, I would take cold showers kind of just like every day in the morning. I honestly couldn't do that here because the water doesn't get cold enough in Florida, at least where I was. It just wasn't cold, so it was just like pointless. Okay. Anyway, some of it too is just like having a balance of caffeine when you're consuming it. And then the other part for me was literally just like getting out there early before the game just to stretch and run. And I was able to, even if I wasn't just using like the device to tell me that, I was able to kind of feel it out. Whereas like if I felt ready to go, taking a little bit longer to get going.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we talked, I was able to talk with the guys there, Mark and Peter, and they were mentioning that it's different for every guy, right? Some guys want caffeine. Sometimes it's cold tub. One of the studies or one of the feedback that they got for some of the players was that it was music, like listening to music helps them kind of reset mentally to get it. Does this make you like more aware of ways to like maintain your reaction time? And how do you think that shows? I mean, I think it's kind of logical, right? The better reaction time, the better you'll be at the plate. But how do you feel that manifests in your game?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still think it's kind of like a learning curve of how it's really going to help me on like a game basis of they had talked to me potentially bringing it out in certain games. You could do between innings or like in the fourth or fifth inning when you could kind of hit that wall of starting to get a little bit sluggish. I'm not too sure there. But I mean, I do know like reaction time is definitely huge. I am not like the biggest believer in my reaction time is bad, so like I'm gonna play bad, or like I didn't sleep well, I'm gonna play bad. Like I think that's kind of like the worst frame of mind you can get into, even if it's, you know, true. You just never want to think that way because, you know, you can only control so much. Like you could have a perfect day and then wake up and your reaction time is bad, and you don't want that thought in your head like, oh, my reaction time's slow today, I'm not gonna be able to hit this guy's slider. So you can draw like those connections, but I think for me it's really just a tracking tool, and especially useful on off days where I can see, you know, maybe I need to attack an off day a little bit more because I'm slowed down today, or maybe it's the opposite and can really chill out just because my reaction time is still solid. But I'm definitely eager to see some better ways to incorporate it into like the game process.
I mean, because it makes sense, right? Like you know, to get better as a hitter, you take BP, you work off the tee, you work off the machine, you work against live pitching. To get better as a fielder, you take reps. To get faster, you run. All these things all make sense, but this seems to be folding in like a mental aspect to it too. Is that, or like a cognitive? Is that a good way to look at it? It's another layer of training where what you do with your mind or how you react to certain things can help you physically.
For sure. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like it's one of those aspects that's getting more and more studied and researched and proven and used by organizations all around and people all around. And I think it's just part of that, like wanting to be the best athlete possible. And there's people who want to make you the best athlete possible. So they're looking into all these fields where they can help you get better. And so this is definitely one, the cognitive field and reaction time field, of just being able to use it consistently and finding ways to improve it. It's just one of those areas where it's like, it's proven it can help you. So it's just one of those things that it takes, I don't know, 5-10 minutes a day of using it, and mm-hmm. you can start to see some benefits. So it's really just something like, why wouldn't you want to do it?
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about those benefits. Cause you mentioned a little bit that you don't need the feedback to know maybe your feeling of reaction. Like you've already kind of like internalized a clock a little bit to go, I'm a little sluggish. Is that one of the things you're talking about? Like you can immediately feel kind of just through awareness how to improve it?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can like get a knack for it of just based off of feel. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to look into the numbers, it'll show you basically exactly mm-hmm. where you are that day. And so, you know, you can start to use it a couple more times. I mean, what I've noticed, to be honest, is days that I have a bad score, like early, I will continue to do it, but my scores are still like below my threshold. And so that's when you have to kind of take, like we talked about earlier, like maybe blast music, cold shower, maybe you just jog a little bit, run, warm up, whatever the case may be. But yeah, I mean, the feedback is great too, but you can kind of start to get a knack for it of how you feel just rolling out of bed, honestly.
Okay. Does it make you appreciate kind of the mental aspect? You already do, because to perform at a high level, you have to have kind of like that mental acuity. Does it make you greater appreciation for it? Does it give you greater awareness of it? Any of those things?
Yeah, definitely a greater awareness, probably appreciation too. But like just understanding, you know, what could this me making an open fist at a white light on a screen do for me? Or like, what could this even mean? And then you kind of start to dig into the details and understand it better. So you're just like more aware, and that's really all it's about. You're just becoming aware to areas that you could improve on a day-to-day basis as a player. And that's really all you can ask for. And, you know, you can utilize it however you want to, how consistent you want to, but it's another tool that, you know, can help you. So just continue to use it as you see fit.
Tell me about the white light, orange light. All right. This test, how frustrating can it be? How rewarding can it be? How much do you enjoy doing it? What goes into it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. So the white light flashes and you open your fist, the yellow light flashes and you don't do anything. So, I mean, it's kind of like swinging at a fastball and taking a slider changeup or something like that. You can look at it like that. It's hard because, you know, you're trying to anticipate seeing the light flash and going because you want to be as quick as possible. But, you know, if you anticipate mm-hmm. too much and you think it's going to be a white light, it's a orange light, yellow light, whatever, then you can't go and you might jump too early and just swung at a slider in the dirt. So it kind of feels like baseball training a little bit, which is cool. But yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. There's some people that I've seen that are pretty good at it. Some people really aren't good at it. We had a kid who is pretty bad at it, but still has really good swing decisions. And then you kind of have like the opposite, somebody who's really good at it and you still have bad swing decisions. So, I mean, it's not like a complete straight line of, you know, you have good timing on this, you're going to have good swing decisions, but it's for sure an area that you can still work on and just be cognizant of. And it's a cool training tool.
And where are you in that realm? I mean, it's something that you can do a couple times a day, a few times a day. Where are you in figuring it out? I get the sense that you want to fight your instincts a little bit to anticipate, like, okay, well, I see a pattern or everything, that you have to kind of fight that. Maybe it's similar to what you have to do in the batter's box.
Yeah, no, for sure. You definitely just have to be, it's kind of like what I'll tell guys hitting wise of, you're not sitting on a slider, but you know that it could come. So you're a little bit more aware of it. You're not just like mm-hmm. selling out for a fastball. So it's kind of like that. Like, I'm just trying to, be prepared to go as soon as I see that white light, but knowing that it might not be. So that's one of the tests that I'm pretty good at. But you know, it's still hard and you mess up.
Yeah. I mean, how often do you do it?
I usually do the readiness one, which is just like the base standard white light one, more frequently, but I mean, I'll throw that test in there pretty much weekly, I would say.
Okay. Do you get pretty competitive with your West Virginia teammates about it? Would you, if you scored well, would you let them know?
Yeah, that was like the most fun aspect about it, I think, from a team standpoint. I mean, like at that point, none of us really knew like what it meant or how it could help us. So it was kind of just like a competition that we would do. So I would keep track with one of the guys there. We would do like two or three score tests every day. Just the highest, the best score would win. And we just keep track of that. I won, just, by the way.
Okay. No, just bragging rights, though, or was anything at stake?
Just bragging rights.
Just bragging rights. Okay. Have you improved on those? I mean, like, what, give me a sense of, like, when you do it and you do it well, you're like, okay, what's that feel like? Does it, I mean, is it instant gratification? Or like, or I know that sometimes, like, the reaction time is what the reaction time is, but the agility test, you can kind of improve on, right? Like, it's something that you can get a better feel for.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like, it's with anything, like, the more you do it, the better you can expect to become at it. So it's still one of those things that I'm still learning and talking to the guys on of realistically, like, what's the best way to improve a score here or there. But yeah, I mean, there, you know, the more you take it, the more comfortable you get with it, the better you can expect to do. Still, kind of like I said, though, you're going to have days where no matter how many times you take it, like, the scores just aren't going to be there. That's just kind of how it goes. But I would say,
like, baseball, right? Like, I mean, that's right, similar to sure. baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. But I would say, like, you know, when you get a good score, like, you kind of feel good. You're like, okay, feel pretty prepared today, ready to go, ready to get some good swings in. And, you know, you can feel all that way you want to, but you still got to do it. So it's kind of just, you know, it's the balance of knowing it's a tool, but, like, it's not going to make you hit a home run that day. You still have to go have a good approach, be locked in that at bat and be ready to go.
Do you feel then, like, when you're, have you felt some result, some benefit of this in the sense that, like, you feel either in your training or your awareness, or even maybe in your decision-making, there's been some uptick as a result of this?
You know, I think, like, that's hard to track. Like, to draw a parallel line has to be like, I'm swinging at better pitches because I'm flashing my hand at a screen. I think it's hard to track, but I think it's kind of just like an inference you can. So, you know, like, I can't completely draw that line that, you know, the more that I do it, the better that I hit, but I'm sure in some regard it helped me.
Why was this right? I mean, you just started your pro career and they come to you and ask, you know, hey, will you help be part of the face of this? Will you be part of the promotion of this? Can we use you in this, you know, in some of the stuff that we're attempting to do by moving into the baseball sphere more aggressively, especially with a baseball product? Why was this the right fit for you with Bison?
The guys there have been super nice, super, you know, explaining to me what's going on, updates, whatever the case may be, checking in with me. They've just been really, really good. So it's like a really good staff over there. You know, when you have good people working over there, you want to help them. It's just a good mutual relationship. And then also, I think, kind of, I mean, number one, they're really smart people, but two, like, just their willingness to try to improve. They're coming out with sleep metrics now, which is something we're trying to get, they're trying to get going. So that's really cool to me. Just because there's other devices out there that do sleep, but to have kind of like an all-in-one thing where you can train cognitive and mental skills and then also look at your sleep. And then that's when I feel like you can really start to draw connections to see, like, oh, I slept good today, my reaction time's good. I slept bad today, my reaction time's bad. Now, inherently, you could have a day where you sleep bad and your reaction time could be good. You know, there's weird stuff that goes on.
Right.
But just, you know, being able to see kind of some trends based off of sleep and performance like that is really cool. So that's an area that I'm excited for. And, but the cognitive side is really just, I feel like, an untapped area that, you know, I mean, there's more and more businesses trying to get into it, but it's not like there's a worldwide thing that everybody's heard about as to why everyone's, you know, using this particular device. So I think they have a chance to kind of become that, be like a Whoop in the sleep sense of things, but for cognitive training. So I think they got a chance to, you know, really get there. And then also too, like, I was, you know, high draft pick, a good player in college, but I'm not a big leaguer. So it's kind of cool that, like, they would take a guy still trying to develop and in the minor leagues to try to use as one of their athletes. I was appreciative of that as well.
That's cool. Yeah. That's the last thing I wanted to ask you about is you're a few weeks now from officially reporting to spring training and taking ground balls with Mason Winn and likely taking some batting practice with Brendan Donovan. What do you want to get from being in camp with the big leaguers? What do you want to get from your first real look and your first real extended time with the Cardinals that are going to be part of your career when you're with the team?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to go in open-minded and just, you know, get whatever it is, like, just try to learn from them and see how they go about their business day to day, see how they take in coaching from different coaches and really just talk to them, get to know them on a personal level as well. You know, it'll just be a really cool opportunity for me to just be around the guys who are literally there living the dream, and see what it takes and what they do and the sacrifices they have to make in their day-to-day lives to be able to put the best product on the field. And, you know, I also just see it as an opportunity to really get better and also like showcase some talent. You know, I have a lot of confidence in myself as a player, and that's an area like I want to get to the big leagues. I may not be there yet, but I want to show, you know, like I'm a good player, and of course there's areas where I can get better at, but you know, there's areas that I'm pretty good at too. So it'll be an opportunity to do so. But I think the biggest part is just learning from those guys. I mean, just following them, seeing what they do. And it's really kind of just like that freshman that shows up on campus in college is just really eager to learn and, you know, doesn't want to step on anyone's toes, but it's just trying to see what these guys are doing and how they got to where they are, and just trying to go through that whole process of learning again.
You mentioned also health and what that could do for stolen bases. What are some other like next steps that you want to take either in the field or at the plate now that you kind of have that first glimpse of pro ball and you're about to see it really when you get into Grapefruit League play, it'll likely be at a level that you know, of competition that you're eager for, but you hadn't seen yet.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously you have to improve everywhere and that's just part of the process, but I think kind of just continuing to tap in defensively at shortstop and just being more consistent on plays, making better plays, playing cleaner baseball there, and just like really developing into a true shortstop and not just like a guy that's playing shortstop. Mm-hmm. And then hitting is really just all about consistency. And I've got a really, really good base there. And it's really just bringing that up and learning and, you know, being able to adapt to approaches, different pitches, different styles, ways that teams will pitch you, just being able to handle anything that's thrown at you. So that's really, really my aspect there. I don't really think there's anything too major that I have to do or really, really need to 100%, you know, like I got to get 10 times better in this area, but it's really just polishing the skills that I have worked hard for and been able to showcase and just trying to get it on playing with the talent level that it requires to play at the higher levels.
JJ, thank you very much for taking this time to chat with me. I know it's busy there in Jupiter. I know it's a place you've called home a little bit now for some months. Is that correct? Or at least it feels like home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you spend the whole off season there?
No, there's like a dead period from November to early January. So I went back home for that, but, for the rest of it. Yeah.
So it's starting to feel like home at least a little bit, or at least the ballpark probably is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the area is really nice. It's a little bit too crowded for me. I grew up in a much smaller town, bunch of one lane roads that wouldn't get too clogged up. And here there's five lane roads that get clogged up, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool area.
Yeah, the military trail, right? You learn your way around there a little bit. JJ, thank you for allowing this time and for chatting with me here. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
JJ joined me from Jupiter, where the Cardinals are going to begin spring training with the first official workout of pitchers and catchers on February 12th. That also will signal the start of a brand new season for the best podcast in baseball, the 13th season of BPIB. As always, you can find the best podcast in baseball wherever you get your podcasts, and it is part of the constant Cardinals coverage that is going to get constanter and Cardinal? No, that's not right. Gonna get more constant? No. Anyway, we're expanding the Cardinals coverage, so look for some new elements to it, including what you've already seen, maybe the vidcast element of BPIB. There's going to be more videos from my colleagues Benjamin Hockman, Lynn Worthy, and Daniel Guerrero from spring training. And on Valentine's Day, I got something planned that is going to be a new element, a new weekly element of our Cardinals coverage. It debuts on Valentine's Day, so hope you look for it. I'm sure I'll be talking about it on the podcast, and I'll certainly be sharing it on social media, but it's going to be a new weekly element exclusive to subscribers of the Post-Dispatch. From Florida, where Cardinals coverage for the Post-Dispatch begins imminently, I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, and this has been the best podcast in baseball.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.